This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I am so thrilled. Oh my goodness, we're a few days before Christmas, and this is exciting. I have two Christmas books to talk about today. At the bottom of the hour, a little later, I'm going to talk about Kevin B. Edwards' book, about his new book. It's called This Is How My Santa Looks. It is a charming book, and I was looking forward to talking to him. He is somewhere in some airport traveling right now, but I will talk about his book, and I will also play some of his music, because Kevin has a beautiful, beautiful voice. And I often play his music here, and I want to play it for you again for Christmas. But right now, I get to turn to somebody who's got a heck of a sense of humor, and I think we all need that in these trying times. And so I want to welcome to the program Liz Ireland, and we are talking about her book, Mrs. Claus and the Evil Elves. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Patsy. How are you doing?
Okay. Wow. this is so funny. I don't know if you had a chance yet to see the Facebook post I did for you.
No, I haven't.
Oh, you have to look. It's because I had so much fun making this one. I like to make Facebook posts from, you know, the books that I love. And mm-hmm. This one, I thought, it gave me so many things to work with, because you have some wild things in this book. And, of course, it is a Kensington book, so the cover is beautiful. And
oh, always, yes.
They do such a remarkable job.
They do. They are whizzes at doing cover art.
They are. And so this one, it's very bright. I love it. It's gold, and it's got an elf on it. And I want to tell people it has an elf who looks a little bit, let's say, not so sweet. A little bit sour there.
But he's on the naughty list, I think.
That's right. And he is on the naughty list. And I had fun making this Facebook post for you, because I brought out some of the other characters that you have in this book, because you have created a world here in the North Pole for Mrs. Claus, and it is delightful, including,
oh, great.
I love the snowman on the hoverboard, and you will see that on my Facebook post.
Oh, I have to see this then.
Everybody has to go to Radio Joy on Paper on Facebook and look at it, because I got a kick out of a snowman on a hoverboard, and so I did that. And you just have to tell us how you created this world here up in the North Pole. It is really a world-building exercise.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, what I wanted to do was, I was just trying to think of a fun Christmas cozy mystery series. So I was thinking, you know, what would be the ultimate, you know, cozy mystery village, like Cabot Cove in Murder, She Wrote, only in the North Pole. So I was just started imagining a slightly twisted version of Christmas Town in Santa Land, and kind of brought in elements of, you know, all the Santa Land that I'd seen, and from, like, you know, the great old cartoons like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And, you know, kind of mixed it with, you know, some more fun cozy mystery tropes. Like, they'd have, you know, the coffee shop that the characters hang out in, and it's called We Three Beans Coffee House. And I tried to, you know, make it look a little like how I imagined, or my mother's Christmas villages, you know, when I was growing up, you know, those lighted houses that she'd have on the mantle and on the shelves, you know. And so I also wanted to have a little element of, you know, upstairs, downstairs, so that the people who live with the Claus family in Castle Kringle, they're up on Sugar Plum Mountain, the Claus family, who kind of rule over Santa Land in a kind of benevolent way. And so, but they have elves working for them. So there's kind of an upstairs, downstairs element to that. I hope that comes across.
Oh, it comes across. It comes across. It's yeah. Beautiful. So, you know, well, of course, you brought in some elements of today's problems in the world. A lot of places are going on strike. So,
oh, yeah.
So I thought that was very relevant here, that we have a very important strike going on in this book.
Well, the elves are, the elves are up to some mechanization ideas this time around, and so they're inventing little inventions to make their lives easier, because, you know, they work all the time. They want to make their lives a little simpler. So they've invented little hoverboards that the snowmen can use, so they can put snowmen to work as delivery people. And they're also have invented drones that will also do some of the work. But now the drones have threatened the reindeer, and the reindeer are on strike because they're worried they're going to become obsolete in Santa Land. So they're very upset about this. And now it's a week before Christmas, and the reindeer are on strike, and Santa is worried that they won't be able to pull his sleigh. And also the reindeer aren't getting much exercise, so if the strike ends, he's worried that the reindeer will be a little too pudgy to fly.
I can see how much fun you had just working on that.
Yeah.
And of course, then your main character, this is the third book in the series, right? And
yes, it is.
And we have Mrs. Claus, and how long has she been married now to Santa?
It's been 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
She first met Santa Claus. She used to run an inn on the Oregon coast, and she had a visitor at her inn one summer, and he was kind of a mysterious bearded man, a little pale for summer, but they had a whirlwind romance at the inn, and she fell in love with him, but he was being a little reticent about telling her who he was, and so she was worried, but it turned out that his big secret was that he was Santa Claus. So she took the leap and married him and moved to the North Pole. So she's still kind of a fish out of water in the North Pole a little bit, which I was raised in the South, and I moved to Canada, so I'm a little, I know about moving to cold weather climates when you're not used to them. So she's still kind of acclimatizing herself to her new surroundings, and you know, getting used to being around, you know, sentient snowmen and talking reindeer and flying reindeer and all of the things that come with Santa Land, and elves, lots of elves,
and particularly genius elves.
Genius elves and kind of naughty elves, and you know, all the elves have different personalities, and there are very good elves too who work for her and help her solve mysteries, because usually in these books Santa Land is usually a very calm place, but you know, in these mysteries, usually something is going very, very wrong.
that's for sure. And it's funny, you know, of course, her name is April. So I think spring would be more her season. There she is, up in the North Pole. And yeah, as you said, it is a shock to the system.
Definitely.
I'm from Northern Michigan, so it wouldn't be such a shock to me. But
I
couldn't take it anymore.
Oh, well, you'd probably get used to the North Pole faster than April has.
And, I mean, there's even clogging elves. Now, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I love clogging. I think I love to watch cloggers.
So yes.
That was a good idea. I thought, and they have a special Christmas event?
Oh, yes. They always, well, there are many Christmas events, but in the beginning of the first, of the third book, there's an ice sculpture contest. They have magnificent ice sculptures all over Santa Land, and they last a long time because they are just like statues. They never melt. So, but there's an ice sculpture contest, and they're prefaced with music and elf clogging presentations, and the elf cloggers are sort of like the Morris dancers of Santa Land. You know, they're very talented, but sometimes unappreciated by everyone. So, there's a lot of clogging and jangling going on.
Well, you know, it's so much fun too that you know, when you're doing a book like this, and I think half the time you have to be giggling while you're working, and you come out with such, well, you're witty and clever, and of course we do have to have a murder, because you know that is a crime mystery.
Yes.
But you do tend to forget it. You get so involved in this town that it's there, and it's got to be solved. But character building is so great, and
thank you.
I just thought it was delightful.
And well, I have to say, I have a slight preference for whenever I'm doing a snowman. The snowmen always tickle me because it just seems so funny when she's walking down the street and a snowman starts talking to her. So. Or when one, you know, glides by on a hoverboard. You know, those are
well. You know, I am an expert in ice sculpture because, as I said, I'm from Northern Michigan, and in Hancock, Michigan. Every year they have at the Michigan Technology University, Michigan Tech, they do an ice sculpture show. I mean, a massive one. They do these big, you know, 6-foot, 8-foot sculptures. Absolutely gorgeous. It is a place, you know, people just, you know, plan their week or 2 weeks when the sculptures are being made to get up there and watch them and then to see the final show because it is gorgeous. So I love the idea of ice sculpture. Of course, not when we have a kamikaze reindeer, but you know, you know that's a little bit unusual. But who knows? Maybe Michigan Tech will do a kamikaze reindeer for you this year.
So, yeah, I guess we should explain for the listeners who haven't read the book. The beginning incident in the book is that there's this ice sculpture contest, and out of the blue, a large drone that the elves are calling drone deer, a large drone comes and makes a kamikaze hit on the winning ice sculpture, which is a large sculpture of the first reindeer Blitzen. So it's very upsetting to the whole town.
It would be.
Yeah.
And how's Santa doing?
Well, Santa's always a little worried. He's very busy, and, you know, things are always kind of looking like they might go a little wrong. And, you know, I think my focus is always on Mrs. Claus and her friends, and you know, and Jingles the elf, who works for Mrs. Claus. He's sort of the butler of Castle Kringle, and they're kind of in cahoots to solve the mysteries that are going on. Because Santa, she's trying to keep, you know, Santa from worrying about things. He's got you know, the big night to worry about. So
yeah,
he's trying to solve the murders.
Yeah, he has to stay focused on that big night.
Yes. And she can run around and solve the murders, and she has help from various characters in the book. Like there is an element of the law in Santa Land, and it's Constable Crinkles, He is sort of like a Keystone Cop, but he does his best. And, so she's aided by him, and there is a private detective also in Santa Land called Jake Frost, who is a distant cousin of Jack Frost, and he's a little more competent than Constable Crinkles, but she's not alone in trying to solve murders.
Well, I think it's a delightful series.
Thank you.
It really is. It's cute, and as I said, with this cover, it's I wanted people to look at it and really, you know, what is going on with this elf? But now we know if, you know, once people read this book, they will see what is happening here with Mrs. Claus and the evil elves. And it's very well done. You're an excellent writer. As a matter of fact, we have to talk a little bit. So this is Liz Ireland. So people, if you're looking for the book, it's Liz Ireland. And the name of the book is Mrs. Claus and the Evil Elves. And this is book 3, and you can get all of them. This is perfect reading for this long and cold, cold weekend that I think most people in the country are going to be having.
Yes, yes. It's just hit. I'm on the West Coast, and so we are just getting the Arctic blast here. It's kind of crazy.
And it's going to be working its way across all the way to Florida, and we're supposed to have 36 degrees. Now, we do not appreciate...
No.
Yes.
We,
and that doesn't happen very often here, so it's going to be...
Like the North Pole is coming down to you.
That's right. Well, as long as none of those kamikaze reindeer come flying over my house, I will be okay. Although, you know, maybe one of the... Maybe the reindeer will come down. At least it'll be a little warmer here under the palm trees.
Yes.
So you have so much fun writing this series, but I wanted to mention that you are also busy writing other things.
Yes, I write. I've written over 40 books. I started writing romance, and I've written women's fiction and now mysteries. I have a kind of paranormal rom-com series called the Cupcake Coven books, which started with a book called A Letter to Three Witches, which is sort of set in a kind of Halloween-y setting, a little different than Santa Land, but it's set in northern New York with a family of witches who aren't really supposed to be practicing witchcraft. That's their milieu.
Well, you're a fantastic writer. You, for world building, nobody does it better than what you've done here. It's just wonderful.
And thank you so much.
One of the things that, you know, do you remember when your first book was published?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about
it. I don't think anyone can forget that.
That's what, you know, a lot of my listeners did NaNoWriMo this year. And so they're like, they finished and, you know, they're looking forward. I have 5 of them actually, of my listeners, finished. And, you know, they sort of kept me abreast during the entire month of November how they were progressing. And now their books are done and, you know, they have to now go go forward and learn now how to edit. But
yes.
Tell us about that time your first book was published after 40, you know, now you're up to 40.
Oh, well, well, it's been 40 over about almost, you know, 20, 25, 30 years, so it's been a while since the first book, but it was a category romance for Silhouette Books, which I don't believe even exists anymore, but I wrote it almost in NaNoWriMo fashion. I wrote it very quickly and, you know, edited it and turned it in, just sent it in because I didn't have an agent. And it sat on an editor's desk, I think, for over a year. It was a long time. It's like when you're first starting out, you kind of expect that somebody's going to read your book and love it, and it'll be a matter of weeks. But, of course, that the reality sets in quickly. And So I started writing other books, and I finally got an agent, and soon after I got an agent, you know, she prodded them, and they picked up the book. So that was exciting. And by that time, I'd already written another two books, but I know at least one by that time that they picked up right away too. So it was almost like a 1-2 punch of joy. You know, I finally got two books published, and it was very exciting.
Well, I like that you use the word joy, a punch of joy. That's that's a good title for
Joy on Paper, actually.
Yes, it is. It's fantastic. As a matter of fact, if next time I have a party, I'm not having any parties this year, but I think maybe I will have a punch, a big bowl, and call it a punch of joy.
Yes.
And I will tell everybody about you because it's just so much fun. I love when an author is enthusiastic and who just has, you know, brings that joy that you're bringing with this series. Now,
well, it's hard and joyful when you're writing a book about Santa Land and elves.
Exactly. Now, of course, I know that you mentioned in that bio that they write about you that you play in a band.
I do. I have. I play in a concert band, sort of like Mrs. Claus. That's sort of one biographical element I stole from my own life and put in hers. She plays percussion in a band, but I play woodwind instruments. Kind of in an amateur way, but we have a large concert band, a concert band organization here on Vancouver Island, and it's called the Greater Victoria Concert Band. It's actually four bands, and the band I play with is the Learning Band, where adults can come and learn instruments, and it's a lot of fun. It's very low pressure. None of us are worried about getting to Carnegie Hall or anything like that. You know, we're just learning, and you know, it's a good way to socialize and get together once a week with a lot of people and play music.
Well, it
very,
is
very happy experience.
I hope that you're going to be playing some music for Christmas because I love Christmas music.
Oh yes, we play Christmas music. We start early in the fall playing Christmas music, and we play for a few retirement homes in the area because this is the big retirement area, and there are lots of retirement homes for people and senior centers. So we go to a couple of those and play, and it's always a great experience because they're the best audience ever.
Well, you know, of course, you also mentioned that you like to read. Well, I assume so. And were you reading from a young age?
My goodness, yes, I did read a lot. I was sort of the youngest in the family of, I guess, we had four children, and so books were always a big part of the family. My parents were big readers. And so, yes, I always read a lot. I wasn't as big a reader as some writers were, but I loved having books read to me, especially when I was little. And I had a wonderful teacher when I was in third and fourth grade because we had I grew up in a small town, and we had two classrooms in one classroom, two classes in one classroom, I guess is what you would say. So the third and fourth grade were together, and our teacher was just this wonderful woman named Mrs. Sides, and she read books to us every afternoon at the last hour of school. And she read just marvelous books to us, like Where the Red Fern Grows and Old Yeller and The Little Prince and Caddy Woodlawn and all sorts of, and The Yearling, you know, great Florida book. She read all those books, and I don't know how she did it now because, you know, looking back on it, they were all very weepy, sad books. I don't know how she kept her composure, but she did. She was a marvelous, marvelous reader.
Oh, that's what you need when you're in school. I wish more teachers did that. I wish more families did that. One of the things I love at this time of the year is to read Dickens' Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how many times you see the movie. The book is so much better. I mean,
the book is fantastic. It's got so many fantastical elements to it that aren't ever really captured in the movies, I don't think.
No, they're not. And it is such a wonderful thing. And I'm encouraging people this year to actually read it with their families, maybe take mm-hmm. turns. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, when you can film it on your, on your phone, film the family doing it, taking turns, mm-hmm. going, chapter by chapter. And mm-hmm. it is such a wonderful read. It is just, and the amazing thing, it seems so fresh. I just read it this past weekend. I read it out loud to myself. I had nobody to read it to. Mm-hmm. But hearing it, it's a marvel.
It is. Yes, it is. Actually, I listen to it every year. I have several versions of the audiobook for some reason, and I've listened to, various actors reading A Christmas Carol. It's one of my favorite things to do in December. I usually listen to it twice because I just, I love the story so much. But there are several good audio book versions of it that are available too. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. And that again, it is just something that families should do together. I think it calms you down. There's something when you're listening to the voice, like of a great actor doing it, or even mm-hmm. the voices in your family, there's something calming about it, and it's so beautiful. And mm-hmm. and you cry.
I know.
It's just wonderful.
It's this great redemption story,
And I'm doing, one of the things I'm doing, a sort of a survey for a piece that I'm writing. And I'm going to ask you the same question I'm asking a lot of people now. Mm. When you, all of us who love reading, thinking about Pride and Prejudice, mm-hmm. Jane Eyre, and Wuthering Heights, mm-hmm. Which of the heroes of the books when you were young, did you like the most? And which would you like the most today?
Oh.
Darcy?
Oh. Definitely not Wuthering Heights.
Heathcliff?
Yes, no. I'm not a big Heathcliff fan. I love that book, but I don't really see that as him as a romantic figure. He's kind of a nightmare. I did love Mr. Rochester when I was young. I especially loved it because they had this version of Jane Eyre that starred Timothy Dalton, and he was just so magnificent. but I think Mr. Darcy is probably my favorite. Yeah. He was always, it would always have been a tie, but now Mr. Darcy, yes, much better than all the others, probably.
Okay, I'm checking around. I want to know what, if women, who read it when they were young, if their attitude has changed.
Probably. I've gone from, the needle has moved from Rochester to Darcy.
Okay.
I think we appreciate kindness and not that Mr. Darcy was particularly kind, but he did, he did go out of his way to help Elizabeth. So
that's
and her
true.
Family.
That's true.
In spite of himself. So
and then I'm wondering too, what kind of man all these women married. So I'm looking at that too. Did they land up with a Darcy? Did they land up with a Heathcliff? Oh boy, or did they land up with that's funny, or Mr. Rochester? Huh?
Oh, I don't really think of my. I don't think I really ended up with any of those people. Let's see. I'm thinking more Ebenezer Scrooge kind of. No, maybe Scrooge mixed with Darcy. I don't know.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that. Liz, you're funny. I think you're terrific. I think you're terrific. You're right. And it comes through in talking to you, too. You're just you're charming and you're delightful. And the book is great. And it's called Mrs. Claus and the Evil Elves. And it is book three in this wonderful series. When you read this one, you're going to go back and get the other two and just get cozy this weekend and read and have some hot chocolate and some ice cream, because we have some ice cream in this story, too.
Oh, yes. There's ice cream. There's eggnog galore.
Okay. Well, now, website-wise, I don't know where's your website, under what name, because you have a lot of different names.
Yes. I am elizabethbass.com, and I also have a WordPress site called Liz Ireland. At WordPress.com, and I'm on Twitter at Elizabeth Bass, B-A-S-S.
Like the fish. She's rather fishy, and one of my favorite fish. You know, in northern Michigan, in Lake Superior, we have the best bass. Oh, my goodness. We would go. That's the one that I always wanted to catch, because when you catch bass and then you know, 10 minutes later, you're frying it on a frying pan on the shore of the lake. It is the best. So it's easy to remember. And there's something fishy about Liz Ireland. She has an extra name there.
Yes. And I'm also on, you know, Facebook and Twitter, and you under Liz Ireland author and Elizabeth Bass.
Okay. And I'm sure with Kensington, it is probably in Barnes & Noble, because I love Barnes & Noble, and they will have it there. And, of course, you can order it online. Again, Liz, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It has been a joy to talk to you.
Oh, it's been wonderful. Thank you, Patsy.
Okay.
And Merry Christmas to everybody who's listening.
Thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your family. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to play a book buzz from Devon Miller. Oh, no, that's okay. Let's go ahead straight to commercial, because I have to talk about Kevin B. Edwards when I come back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi! This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And although Kevin B. Edwards couldn't join us today, I wanted to talk about his new book because Kevin is just, he's been such a great friend to Joy on Paper. And last year he was here to talk about his book, which was about bullying. And I found it so fascinating and so really important, an important book for kids. And it's called Kevin Turns Fear into Feet. And it's about Kevin as a boy who was bullied and then one day discovered a way to change his life. And I was so impressed with Big Kevin that I wanted to tell people and tell his story and give him the opportunity also to play his music here on Joy on Paper. So I'm going to play two of his songs today, but first we'll start with Promise, and then I'll come back and I want to talk about his new book because it is a beautiful book, and it's called This Is How My Santa Looks. But let's first listen to Kevin sing a song. This is such a lovely song, and Kevin has such a beautiful voice. and I wanted to talk today about his book, This Is How My Santa Looks. It's a lovely story, charming story, about a first grader named Sydney at Shady Grove Elementary School who questions the color of her classmate, Justin Santa. Well, you know, in this day and age, we welcome the diverse and open understanding of that we're all the same, and it doesn't matter what color we are. And I was so happy when I got this book, just like I was with Mina Harris's book that I spoke about on Tuesday, because it is so important that we understand that, you know, diverse books about people of different color are so important for us to read nowadays and to just find the joy in being good to each other. And I was particularly taken with Kevin's book because he is he's a loving person. He's a giving person. I know that he's given a lot of his books to hospitals. And I want so much for people to think about this week. Now you have a few more days here that you can order books directly from Amazon or Barnes & Noble and play Secret Santa or Secret Mrs. Claus and send a book to a kid in a hospital. Devon Miller, who does the book buzzes for us, spent time in a hospital when he was a kid, so he knows the importance of books for children, especially at this time of the year. So if you have, you know, I know everybody is tight with money, it's not easy, but there are so many of these lovely, charming books that you can get, and there's a diverse range of them. This one is great, and all you have to do is go right there to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and have a look. Find a book that you think a kid in a hospital would love and send it directly to a hospital, a children's hospital near you. Or here in our area, we have John Hopkins Children's Hospital, and also there's St. Jude, and there's Shriners. So all you have to do is call them up and say, tell me what address and where can I send it, and just send it directly and play that Secret Santa, because one of the most heartbreaking things, if you've ever been to a hospital at Christmas time, either to a seniors hospital or to a seniors community or to a children's hospital, and I did a lot of that when my boys were playing music, and we would do all the time, we would do concerts in hospitals. And it's heartbreaking when you see children who are suffering and they're frightened and they're spending the holidays in the hospital. So a book will, and nowadays, of course, the fact that I think people still in hospitals are not sharing books anymore, it is a book that they will be able to keep and take home with them. So please play a Secret Santa, play Secret Mrs. Claus, and send a book to somebody today. The books range, you can get, you know, books from $3.99 up to $18.99 or whatever you can afford. One little book, and if you're a Amazon Prime member, they ship the books free, so just do it, and it will make you feel good. And as I was talking to Liz Ireland, I hope that all of you will also think about just doing something special, like reading the Christmas Carol with your family. And I'm going to play a song, and the Army song. I want to play that for my dad right now. I'm going to play that, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about my dad, because I know where he was exactly today, 78 years ago. as I said, 78 years ago today, I know exactly where my father was. As a matter of fact, I have probably stood exactly on the spot because he was able to describe where he was during the Battle of the Bulge. You know, I was so disgusted, actually, that when we had Pearl Harbor Day just, you know, a few weeks ago, nobody, really, none of the news stations, other than one or two, covered the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And I doubt if any of them are going to be covering today the 78th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge. The Battle of the Bulge, it's, you know, we have the war in Ukraine right now. And people, we always talk about, oh, are we going to learn from history? The Battle of the Bulge started on December 16th, 1944. It lasted for 1 month, 1 week, and 5 days. And it was horrific. People do not remember, and no one talks about it. And I think this is the kind of thing that, you know, if they're doing anything in Congress, somebody should be standing on the stairs and talking about it today. Because only 1% of those people who fought in the Battle of the Bulge are still alive. And I don't think they're being honored, and their family sacrifice isn't being honored. Because it was horrific. It is something that we should remember. There were over 19,000 killed, 47,000 who were wounded, and 23,000 who, we don't know. Their bodies were never even found again. So this was terrible, and it all happened in 1 month, 1 week, and 5 days. We lost 1,000 aircraft in that one short period of time. Think of that. 1,000 airplanes were shot down. And those brave and wonderful pilots and their crew were killed. Most of them were killed because they landed up crashing into the Ardennes Forest, which is, at that time, it was frozen. It was ice. The reason I know where my dad was is that today, which is December 22nd, 1944, his feet were frozen. And it was pretty horrible for him. But he had to continue because this was only a few days into the Battle of the Bulge. And he had to continue on these horrible frozen feet. And it was something that he never forgot because he was always in pain for the rest of his life. And the gift that we always gave him for everything, for in December, for his birthday, for Valentine's Day, we always gave him expensive socks, the softest socks we could find and that we could afford. And when we got older and we could afford cashmere, he had cashmere socks because his feet were always in pain. Because he was in the Battle of the Bulge. And, you know, all of you out there, you had family who were in World War II. You had family who suffered. And if you don't demand from all of our politicians that somebody remembers these people and somebody remembers this sacrifice, because obviously we don't learn, or we wouldn't be involved in the Ukraine today, I don't think. But I want to also just think of this number. In the 1 month, 1 week, 5 days, the United States lost 900 tanks. 900. And all of these men who were killed. And I think, you know, it's time. Just take a minute to think about them. And so I'm thinking about my dad, who was called Big L, because he was always the first to walk in front of his troop. He would turn around and he would say, "No danger." In other words, he wasn't blown up. And his guys loved him. And He served under Omar Bradley, who he loved. But I just wanted to talk about that. And I wanted to say one of the wonderful things. My father was very silly. He looked like Jimmy Stewart. He and my mother were always clowning around. And I want to play this on my way out today. This song that he and my mother sang at a VFW show one year, right here around Christmas time. And it was a show they put on, and I think he would like to hear this again. So I'm going to play this on the way out. And this is the Bing Crosby, and it's a funny song, and my parents were funny, and went to the VFW almost every week and went dancing. And so I hope that we can cue that song up, because it was cheerful, even though, you know, it was a rough time in the Army and his feet hurt, but he still managed to be a good dancer. And so I'm going to see if that we have it. But it's another Army song, and I love to think of him and my mother. As a matter of fact, here it is. And everybody have a Merry Christmas and listen to this song. My dad would love it.
When I was mustered out, I thought without a doubt that I was through with all my care and strife.
Well, I thought that I was then the happiest of men. But after months of tough civilian life,
gee, I wish I was back in the Army. The Army wasn't really bad at all. 3 meals a day, 3 for which you didn't pay. Uniforms for winter, spring, and fall. There's a lot to be said for the Army. The life without responsibility. A soldier out of luck was really never stuck. There's always someone higher up where you can pass the buck. Oh, gee, I wish I was back in the Army.
I was back in the Army. The Army was the place to find romance. Soldiers in wax, the wax who dressed in slacks, dancing cheek to cheek and pants to pants.
There's a lot to be said for the Army.
A gal was never lost for company. A million handsome guys with longing in their eyes, and all you had to do was pick the age, the weight, the size.
Oh, gee, I wish I was back in the Army. Gee, I wish I was back in the Army. The shows we got civilians couldn't see. How we would yell, hey, for Dietrich and Cornell, Jolson, Hope, and Benny, all for free. There's a lot to be said for the Army. The best of doctors watched you carefully. A dentist and a clerk, for weeks and weeks they'd work. They'd make $1,000 job and give it to a jerk.
Oh, gee, I wish I was back in the Army.
A day for which you didn't pay.
A million handsome guys with longing in their eyes.
I thought that I was through with all my care and strife. But after months and months of tough civilian life, oh gee, I wish I was back in the Army now.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A massive winter storm that's snarling the roads and shutting down air traffic has caught President Biden's attention.
This is really a very serious weather alert here.